It's an ongoing conversation between classic Catholicism and contemporary culture. Your watering hole on the path from sanity to sanctity. Serving up a daily mix of truth, beauty, and goodness. It's Happy Hour with Matthew Arnold.
Actually, it's Terry Barber and Mary Danielle Barber. And we're delighted to fill in for Matt. Matt's out of town for 2 days. And so he asked me to fill in. I think we filled in for Dr. Mazza. I always tell people we're pinch hitters. I always use baseball analogies because I love baseball. Hey, I wanted to bring up today the reading, the good news, like Jesse and I do each and every day, because it's the good news that we need to sustain us in our faith to get to heaven. Without God's word, it's difficult, and also without the sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion. So I want to read this gospel. For those who don't know who my wife is, she's Mary Danielle. We've been married nearly 30 years. I'm going to give you this background because people say, wow, I didn't know that. My wife, earlier in her life, went to the Youth Mission for the Immaculata summer program like I did, okay? A girls' program and a guys' program. We knew each other from that, you know, 40 years ago or whatever. And she was in her early 20s. I was also. And she ends up going to a convent. I end up going to Marytown to test my call as a Franciscan. Well, that wasn't what her call was in the convent. She left the convent. I left the monastery. And it took me 10 years to marry her, to ask her to marry me. So I'm a little slow. She went to USF up in Northern California, got her degree in theology. And then after the kids were raised, she went back to school at John Paul II, the great university in San Diego, to get her master's degree in biblical studies. And so she has a Bible study here at the Sacred Heart Chapel every Tuesday at 7 p.m. starting.
Also on Thursday afternoon at 1.
Gosh, you're a busy
girl. Going to start on September 18th.
And then you're going to be doing a Bible study for some sisters, some cloistered sisters, mm-hmm. because she's going to teach people the fundamentals of the Bible. So if you're interested in knowing your Catholic Bible, come to the Sacred Heart Chapel on Tuesdays in the evenings or the afternoons.
Thursday afternoon.
You got it. Well, let's read our gospel reading from today's Mass, and we call it Soul Food, and it's taken from Luke chapter 6. That theme is, blessed are you who are poor, woe to you who are rich. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes towards his disciples, Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you. Thank you. And when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man, rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. Mary Danielle, I'm going to have you give a comment, but I love when it says, you know, when people persecute me. I had a good priest tell me, Terry, as long as people are criticizing you, you're probably doing God's work. So let's talk about that reading. Give a little commentary.
Well, in the Navarre Bible Commentary, it talks about, you know, blessed are the poor. And we think, well, wait a minute. If you're living in poverty, you have nothing. How can you do anything? Well, the poverty that our Lord is speaking of here is detachment from the things of this world. Mm. And poor people, if they resent their poverty, if they're looking jealously at rich people, if they're, you know, condemning others who have the world's goods and saying, well, I ought to have a right to those, that's not the poverty of spirit our Lord's talking about. At the same time, rich people who ignore the needs of the poor, who say, I have all this money because God has blessed me and I can do whatever I want with it. Well, it's true, you can do whatever you choose with your money, but nonetheless, when God gives you an excess of material goods, it's to serve those who don't have as much as you. So the poverty does not consist in something purely external, in having or not having material goods, but in something that goes far deeper. affecting a person's heart and soul. It consists in having a humble attitude to God, in being devout, in having total faith, acknowledging that everything that we have on this earth comes from God, is a gift from God, and is given to us to help us to praise Him and to serve Him.
Amen.
So we give it back in His service. And so the Beatitudes are an attitude of living in the presence of God, of living in union with God, and not seeking our reward in this earth. The things of this earth cannot satisfy us. Our soul is made for God.
Amen.
It's immortal. And the only one who can satisfy the longing of our soul is God. And the deal is, all of the needs of our body are given to us to remind us that we have a soul that has spiritual needs.
Yep.
And if we're not taking care of the spiritual needs of the soul, our soul is dying.
Well said.
And so sometimes God has to take away from us the things of the body and let us suffer starvation and hunger and thirst and nakedness to remind us that, you know, you're not taking care of your soul. That doesn't mean that the poor people out there in the world are being negligent of their soul. That's not what I'm saying. But there have been times in the history of Israel, for instance, when God gave them many blessings materially, and in the abundance of those material blessings, they forgot to serve God. So God took away those material blessings so that they might turn to the Lord in their need, and He would heal them. So we want God to be the center of our life. We want God to be the purpose for our living. And we're not looking to the things of this earth to fill us. We use the things of this earth in order to help us in our life here on this earth and help us to serve the poor and to serve anyone who's in need. But don't set our hearts on them. Our hearts are set on God.
Well said. In this show, we're going to be talking about Pope Paul VI's solution to the clergy crisis about Humanae Vitae. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you, there were thousands, tens of thousands of women who sent a letter to Pope Francis asking him to respond to the dubia, to respond to, and for those who don't know what this dubia is, there, it's a document that cardinals wrote to the Pope saying, would you please clarify some teachings on morality that your Amoris Laetitia, especially chapter 8, is a little unclear regarding second marriages. And the Pope hasn't responded. And then, of course, the 11-page letter from 2 weeks ago from the Archbishop here, Nuncio. And so these women asked the Holy Father, saying, Holy Father, you've said that women have some contribution in the church. So I just want to ask you, because we don't have women on Virgin Most Powerful Radio yet. So Mary Danielle, what's your take regarding the issue of the dubia and also the Archbishop questioning the Holy Father regarding Cardinal McCarrick's involvement in improprieties?
We need to pray for the church. Mm-hmm. And in regards to a woman's role, in the church, too oftentimes, and this is, if you read Pope John Paul II's letter on the dignity of women,
beautiful, 1980.
It talks about the reality that when Adam and Eve sinned, suddenly what God had created in perfect harmony and beauty, now there's this tension. There's this, men are going to try and dominate, and women are going to try and manipulate, and there's going to be this vying for power.
Yeah.
And this power struggle comes from our concupiscence. And it comes from not recognizing who we are as God has made us.
Define what concupiscence is.
Concupiscence is that, as a result of original sin, that tendency in the flesh to tend toward evil, to find it easier to do evil than it is to do good. And so we want to redirect that with using our intellect and will and practicing the virtues so that we choose good, not evil. And so what we need to do is women need to find who they are as women, mm-hmm. and not deny who they are. And we live in a world where for a woman to want to be a woman and to want to be a wife and a mother,
yes,
is looked down upon as second-class citizen. Yeah. This is what, why are you wasting your life? Why would you do that? I mean, gosh, you know, you could be an executive. You could be out jet-setting. You could be, well, wait a minute. If I give birth to a child, that child has an immortal soul.
That's right.
That's eternal. Anything that I gain in this world is just worldly. It's only for this earth, and it's passing. But the child is eternal.
Amen.
And in that child, I can see Christ, and I can serve Christ. And the same in my husband and in my family. Not everyone's called to marriage, but we are all called to live a holy life. And our key for everyone, and this isn't just for women, but if only we would recognize we are made in God's image as persons to be loved.
Amen.
And we are made for greatness, and that greatness is to live in union with God right here on this earth, like our Blessed Mother. Who is more powerful, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, who is more powerful than Our Lady with God? And why? Because she humbled herself. She was his servant. He didn't use her. He asked her, will you cooperate in my plan? This is my plan. Will you cooperate? And she said yes to his plan. And this is what we need to do as women, is to look to Our Lady, mm-hmm. cooperate with God in his plan, allow him to make us the saints he wants us to be, so that his grace can flow through us to the whole church. There's no one more powerful than Our Lady in the church. And in recent times, Mother Teresa of Calcutta may be one of the strongest examples of how women can serve. She wasn't looking for being a priest or taking the Holy Father's place, or she just wanted to serve Christ in the poor.
Wow. Mary, we're going to come back in a quick break, but I want to give some people some good news. The Federal Appeals Court upholds the Missouri pro-life law that will close dangerous abortion clinics. You know, praise God,
praise God,
that there are people who are willing to stand up for the unborn. We need Amen. More and more of that. When we come back, we're going to talk about solutions to the clergy crisis with Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae. How is that tied into the crisis? That's what I'm going to ask you next, and I've got much more. And if you have a question to ask Mary Danielle or myself, our phone number is 888-526-2151. I like to say with my wife here, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. We're filling in for Matt Arnold, the happy hour. We'll be right back.
Matthew Arnold here, host of Happy Hour on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Part of our daily schedule of live 100% Catholic programs, along with the Terry and Jesse Show and the Bar of History with Dr. Ed Mazza. It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. This fall, Virgin Most Powerful Radio will be rolling out another original live program, Jesus 911 with Jesse Romero, Eddie Chavez, and Ruben Nava. Three ex-cops sharing true stories of evangelization and spiritual warfare on the streets of Los Angeles. We're also remodeling our studio and preparing to launch our new website and smartphone app. We desperately need to fix the bugs so you can listen live on our app or YouTube without any glitches. Plus, meet traditional broadcast standards in order to provide our exclusive programming to Catholic radio stations around the country and around the world, absolutely free of charge. As usual, we're doing it all on a shoestring budget. But we cannot do it without you. If you like what you hear on Virgin Most Powerful, I ask you to please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org. This October 13th, we invite you to Virgin Most Powerful's Call to Holiness Conference, Serious Scandals, Spiritual Solutions, at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. Join Catholic authors and VMPR hosts Matthew Arnold, Dr. Ed Mazza, and Terry Barber to discover how you and your family can navigate the current crisis in the church with your faith not only intact, but stronger than ever before. Visit VMPR.org to register online now.
Now, back to Happy Hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Matthew.
Actually, this is not Matthew. This is Terry Barber and my better half, Mary Danielle Barber. If you're just tuning in, we're filling in for Matt today and tomorrow. And I'm honored to be here. This is my second hour. I'm too blessed, man, to be here. And you know what I asked my wife at the break time? Will you go to lunch with me after these 2 hours of radio?
Yeah.
Oh, goody. We'll have a nice salad or something. Hey, Matt, Mary Danielle, the question I wanted to ask you, two things. One, before we go to Paul VI, I noticed that Pope Francis had a comment from yesterday's Mass reading from Luke chapter 6, and recounting how Jesus went to the mountain to pray before choosing his 12 apostles. And he said, Satan is attacking bishops. They must fight with prayer. Obviously, that is so important. But are we giving the devil a little too much credit? Because some of the attacks on our bishops, if I was a general, I understand if you're the bad guy, you're going to attack. You go against the generals in a war. We're at a war. But my question is, what about the accountability of our bishops who might not be doing a good job in their acceptable and their life of living as Christians, and they've compromised? Wouldn't that open you up to the devil?
And yes, it does. And here's the deal. Apparently, yeah, Satan's been attacking the church from the beginning.
Yeah.
He attacked Christ. He tried to tempt the Lord in the desert, not fully understanding who our Lord was. Okay. But in 1924, the homosexuals infiltrated the church. In 1929, the communists infiltrated the church. The whole point of it was that people entered the church who hated it, who were working for the devil, working in union with him to try and destroy the church. Why? Because the church is supposed to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. The church is the one who's supposed to bring the goodness and beauty and truth of God to the world. So, right, let's attack, attack, attack. That's what the enemy does. Believe me, your enemy, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, solid in your faith. And the Holy Father is absolutely right about the prayer. The call to prayer is so necessary. We really need to pray. But the deal is, in this present crisis, is this present crisis, the fact that it's coming to the fore and coming to the surface, is that an attack by the devil? Well, biblically, in the Old Testament, God brought his people into the Holy Land. And I mentioned this a little earlier. And he gave them all of this plenty in the Holy Land. But they were supposed to bring him to the nations. They were supposed to tell the nations about God and introduce the nations to God. And instead, when they were living these comfortable lives in this land with these pagans, instead of bringing the pagans to God, they started worshiping the pagan gods.
Ah, similar.
And God raised up Assyria to come and take his people into exile. Assyria was God's instrument, not Satan's instrument. God's instrument to chastise his people, to take away from them everything that they had come to love and depend on and had replaced him with. They had replaced him with these material things, with living comfortably with their neighbor. And so God takes it away. He uses the Assyrians. And I think in this time, the church needs to be purified. The church is supposed to be holy. We're supposed to reflect the holiness of God.
Amen.
And the church is not doing that. When these kind of crimes are going on within the church, when this kind of debauchery is taking place, we're not reflecting God and his holiness.
Do you think that in 1968, when Pope Paul VI came out with Humanae Vitae, which is the transmission of life, in other words, against birth control, and I want you to tell our audience what you've told me over the years about your mama. I think that's a good point about what your mom thought when this was coming out, that there's no way he's going to allow birth control. And then the question I'm going to ask you, though, is this. Is there a connection towards artificial birth control, homosexuality, that we have 110 million people in the world, and no, in the United States, with sexually transmitted diseases? Do you think we're mixed up with our sexuality, and do you think Paul VI was spot on that? So first of all, number one, when you were 12 years old, your mama was talking to a lady, and what happened?
Well, my mother was speaking. They were talking about something in the living room, and my mother said, look, he can't change it. He doesn't have the power
good
to change
theologian.
It. And my mother understood. There are teachings of the church that the church has always taught this, it can't be changed.
Right.
And the other woman said to my mother, well, what if he does? And she said, I'll buy you a hamburger. Well, at that time, my father was a teacher. There were 10 kids at home.
Yeah.
We didn't have money in the budget for food.
Oh, serious.
And my parents, we didn't go out to eat. So when my mom said, I'll buy you a hamburger, I'm like, This is really serious. And I didn't fully understand at the time what the conversation was about, but I came to realize later the woman was saying she thought perhaps the Pope could change the church's teaching on the
regulation of birth,
that the church could allow for the use of artificial contraceptives in marriage. And my mother was saying, no, the church cannot. My mother understood that this teaching has always been from the beginning. And the church isn't the arbiter of truth. She is the steward of truth.
Well said.
She's supposed to safeguard it. So, yeah, it's not in her power to change the truths that God has given. And in regards to Paul VI, he was prophetic, extremely prophetic. And
well, what did he say, though? I want to interrupt you because the things that he talked about, you know, self-denial, self-control, discipline, and he said that if we don't use these teachings on the transmission of life, divorce would come, abortion, infidelity in marriage, all these things he professed would happen. He seems like a prophet with what happened.
And it's true. What it is people sometimes don't understand, you know, we have an arm. If it gets diseased, it can be cut off and it doesn't change who we are.
Right.
You know, I can lose a limb. I can lose, you know, in the war, men have lost quite a bit of their bodies without changing who they are in terms of a person. Our sexuality is not an appendage that we can cut off. It's part of our self-identity. We're either male or female.
Right.
God made us that way. And so our sexuality is first and foremost our self-identity as male and female. And then through our sexuality, we're supposed to serve others. If we're called to marriage, we're called to be open to the possibility of life because we are supposed to reflect God. God is always fruitful. He's always loving. He's always giving. So we should always be open to fruitfulness, open to love, open to give. And the deal is, if we separate what God has joined, as Bishop Sheen, love and life, fidelity in marriage with the procreation of children, so the love of marriage with the possibility of procreating children, if we separate those, we've separated what God joined. And when we do that, then we negate the meaning of our sexuality and we distort it. And now, for many people, the end of sexuality becomes pleasure. Wait a minute. Pleasure is not an end in sexuality.
Right.
Pleasure is a means to an end, just like pleasure is a means to an end in eating.
Yeah, if you're eating, right.
If you're eating just for pleasure, it's a disorder. We recognize that. But, and it should be the same that we recognize when we're engaging in sexuality just for pleasure, there's a disorder there.
Well, honey, let me ask you this. We have 110 million people with sexually transmitted diseases. I think Pope Paul VI was prophetic because that means one out of three Americans walking around have abused the sexuality that has been God-given to them, and we've turned away from God's solution regarding the bringing forth of new life, and Pope Paul VI has been prophetic. Let me ask you, how does this tie in with homosexuality, which is a big problem right now, not just in the priesthood, but it seems like people are saying that, I mean, my question is it true that once you separate sexuality from the procreative and unitive aspects, that homosexuality would be a normal thing to look at?
Well, the deal is in and of itself, homosexuality is not normal. First of all, there's no union and there's no procreation. So it negates both of the ends of sexuality. Because there's no union and there's no procreation. Because God made for that union to take place in a specific way, and that has to be between a man and a woman.
Yep.
But if the purpose of sex is simply to have pleasure, well then, right, who am I to tell homosexual that they're not entitled to pleasure if I, as a married person, am saying, well, I don't have to have children, and I can have extramarital affairs. Mm-hmm. You know, chastity is for everyone. We're all called to live a chaste life. And that's chastity is in the will. I choose to take my sexuality and submit it to the will of God and put it at the service of God and my neighbor. And if I negate the purpose of sexuality, which is union and procreation, then pleasure becomes an end in and of itself. And that's debauchery. That's decadence.
So what would you say, because so many people, even my brother Jesse on the show before us, when he got married, the priest encouraged him to use birth control and gave him options of what he should pick. And so we have a lot of our listeners who might have been using birth control for years. And two questions. One, what do you tell them today, now that they have this information that it is offensive to God? And explain to them the culpability of someone who didn't know that this was a serious sin, and now that they have the knowledge of it, what's the responsible thing to do?
Well, once you know the truth, the responsible thing to do is to live it.
Amen.
And I understand that takes time and it takes effort. So if you begin to try and live it and you find yourself falling, don't get discouraged. Go to confession frequently and regularly. And the culpability is diminished when someone has, a priest, advised you that this is okay.
Yep.
If you deliberately went to look for a priest who would advise you that, that's a different story. But if you were in good faith and you were given this advice, then your culpability is diminished. That doesn't change the fact that what you're doing is evil and offensive to God. And it's not only offensive to God, it offends God because it's a degradation of yourself. When you remove the possibility of children from sexuality, now you become an object to be used. You're no longer a person to be loved.
Wow, that's profound when you think about it. Even a husband and wife,
yes.
If I say, and honey, this is a great point because a lot of women who call me say they feel like their husband is using them.
Wow.
Because they're forcing them, saying you got to use contraceptive, no. You know. And what would you tell a woman who's in a situation, this is a tough question, and I'm not going to let you answer it until we come back from the break. This is what we call a teaser in Catholic radio. You're listening to The Happy Hour. Matt Arnold's out of town. This is Terry Barber and my better half, Mary Danielle Barber. Here on The Happy Hour, we're filling in for today and tomorrow. Matt will be back on Friday, I guarantee it. And we're talking about Pope Paul VI's document, Humanae Vitae, on the transmission of life, and how you, as a husband and wife, can cooperate on the greatest thing, and that is the transmission of life. We don't say we create our child. We procreate. That's the word, procreate. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that word because I think I hear people all the time say, well, we made a baby. You didn't make a baby. You're not precise with your language. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about the whole aspect of a woman who's in a situation where the husband is abusing his sexuality by saying to the wife, look, I don't want you to be fruitful with this act. I just want pleasure. Does that sound like our world today? Yes, you bet. I want to also mention, folks, if you go to virginmostpowerful.org, you can get our new apps coming out, but you can find out about our podcast there because a lot of people know that we're not doing the Terry and Jesse podcast, but by the end of the month, God willing, we're going to have a new app for you all. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the transmission of life. Don't turn that dial. This is Terry Barber encouraging you to go to CatholicRC.org. Take a look at all the CDs and the downloads from St. Joseph Communications. I have them all discounted on our website. And every time you purchase a CD, whether it's a download or a DVD, a portion of it goes right back to supporting the Terry and Jesse Show because the profits come right back to our radio network. So I want to encourage you to go to CatholicRC.org. Also, while you're there, if you buy product from Amazon, go to Smile Amazon on our website, register the Catholic Resource Center as a beneficiary, because when you purchase anything from Amazon, a portion of it, they write us a check for that each quarter. And that's also going to support the Terry and Jesse Show. So pick up Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Father Bill Casey. We've got the Spiritual Warfare Conferences for years to come. Like 4 or 5 years now of spiritual warfare conferences. All this is available on our website, CatholicRC.org. Download the material or purchase the CDs or the DVDs. Be inspired. Pass them on to friends. We're making these available to you. This is 40 years of my work of recording these conferences, and I want to make them available to you, whether you purchase them through a CD, a DVD, or a download. Share it with a friend or a family member. Let's bring a soul back to Christ and His church. That's CatholicRC.org or call us at 877-526-2151. May God richly bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Happy Hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Matthew.
Actually, it's not Matthew. It's Terry Barber and Mary Danielle Barber. We're filling in for Matt Arnold today. He'll be back on Friday. I've got another day tomorrow. So we'd love to have you. We had a couple questions asked already, but you can call 888-526-2151. And we'll get to the concupiscence question that was just asked, but I want to finish up my teaser with you, honey. The question came, if a wife is concerned about her husband, saying he just seems to be like taking advantage of me, and he wants to have marital intimacy, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with having a baby coming about. So he wants me to take contraceptives, pills, or other devices that are going to prevent the transmission of life. This is a pastoral question. You're a woman. What would you advise somebody who asked you that? And just so you know, folks, these are the kind of questions my wife and I get all night long from people calling our number. And many times you're going to talk to my wife after hours because it goes to my cell phone. But here, Mary, question, what do you tell a woman who says, my husband's tend to take advantage of me just to have the pleasure of conjugal love but doesn't want the fruitfulness of it?
There are a couple of angles from which you can come at this. One is buy some contraceptives and then take out the package insert and make your husband sit down and read it. That stuff is poison. It's killing you. It's devastating to the human body. You're changing your body. And number two, it's like, okay, honey, you say you love me. When we were married, we made these vows. In this vow, when you say I do, you're saying I love you, only you, and I will always love you exclusively, and all of you. Well, now you're telling me that you don't accept my fertility. You reject my fertility. You're rejecting part of me.
Wow.
So it hurts me.
Yes.
When you say you want to use contraceptive sex, then you're saying I love you, but I only love the fact that you give me pleasure. And it makes me feel like I'm used.
Of course.
It makes me feel like you're rejecting me.
Yeah.
And one of the things you can do as a couple, and I believe me, renew your marriage vows every day. Mm-hmm. Renew your baptismal vows too. And that's just a simple, you say the words, I take you to be my spouse. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and health, till death do us part, to love and honor you all the days of my life. And say those words often. And even when you're not together, repeat those words using your spouse's name. So that, and your name, I say your name and then take you and your husband's name or your wife's name, mm-hmm. so that you're calling on the grace of the sacraments. Pray together. Pray together the Psalms. And I remember somebody asked me one time, what are we going to do? And I said, well, what you can do is you can abstain from having relations and use that time to pray together. Pray the Psalms, pray the Rosary, read some of John Paul II's Theology of the Body, where he talks about this language of the body, where when you have intimacy with another person in sexual intercourse, you're saying, I am completely and totally yours. I belong only to you, and I belong to you forever. I will never take back the gift. And when you use contraceptives in your marriage, with your body, you're lying. Because you're not giving completely. You're saying, oops, not my fertility. If you're unfaithful to your spouse, you're also lying, because if you've given yourself to someone else, that's a lie. You can't give yourself to more than one in this way. And so that would be my advice in a short answer.
Okay, the next question came in at the break time regarding concupiscence. Can you share a little bit on that?
And here's the deal. That ties in. Pope John Paul II shocked the world in one of his Wednesday audiences.
I remember that.
Back in the, I don't know, maybe it was the 80s.
It was the early 80s.
Early 80s, when he said, a husband who lusts after his wife commits sin.
Yeah, everybody goes,
and
what?
I remember some devout Catholic man saying, what? How can that be? And I'm thinking, I'm a woman. Hey, no problem. Because what does it mean to lust? To lust means that you want someone for your own pleasure. You're not considering their needs. You're not considering what's good for them. So for me as a woman, it was like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, if you're lusting after me, and the same for me. If I'm lusting after you, then I just want you for my own pleasure. I'm not looking at you as a person to be loved.
Amen.
And this is what we need to see. And so because of concupiscence, there's going to be this tension. There's going to be this wanting to dominate, or this wanting to manipulate, or finding out that, you know, I can use certain things to get things out of another person. We need to renounce that. We need to say, no, I'm here to love, to freely give myself, and I will freely give myself, and I'm not going to use my husband. I'm not going to try and manipulate him. And the same as the husband, I'm not going to use my wife as an object of pleasure. And so I hope that answers their question.
Yeah, I think it does. You know, Mary Danielle, I think it's important now that we're talking on marriage, and I know I want to get to the every 500 years the church faces a crisis, but we might have to wait till, you know, tomorrow to talk on that. I want to follow up because I don't know if everybody realizes, and I know you and I both read Three to Get Married by Bishop Sheen before we got married.
Yes.
And that book really helped also Casti Canubi. The Pope Pius X, 1931, I think it was?
Pius XI.
And that was very important for us to read. And here's my comment. I realized when I went in that marrying you, you really, my job was to get you to heaven together with me.
Right.
And I don't know if a lot of people realize that. Can you expound a little bit on how the Bible says about sanctifying each other? What's that all about?
Well, husbands and wives, they sanctify each other. They're supposed to help each other get to heaven.
Yeah, amen.
You know, the husband is supposed to love his wife the way Christ loved his church. He laid
Jesus.
Down his life.
Yep.
And the wife is supposed to obey her husband the way the church obeys Christ. Mm-hmm. Because the relationship of husband and wife, number one, in Three to Get Married, we learned that the marital relationship is to reflect the eternal relationship that takes place within the Trinity,
exactly.
The relationships between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And marriage is supposed to reflect this. Also, St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians makes it clear that marriage reflects the relationship between Christ and his church, that this is what Christian marriage is. We're supposed to be assigned to the world of what it's going to be like to live in heaven, and assigned to the world of what Christ did for his church, how he came and gave himself. He totally gave himself up, and this crucifix behind us is pretty vivid for those who can see it. He shed his blood in order to present to himself a bride who was pure and spotless without blemish or spot or any stain of any sort. And this is how it's supposed to be in marriage.
Well said. And you know, when I give people advice, I got this advice from a priest. He said, when I do marriage prep, I put a crucifix in the man's hand. I say, hold on to this beautiful crucifix. Okay. Are you willing to die and suffer for your future wife like Jesus died on the cross for his church? Yes or no, buddy?
Yeah.
And the guy looks up and goes, oh, I don't know. And you're not ready to get married. And I think sometimes people have had poor formation for their marriage, and they don't really know what they're getting into, but they can all be resolved later. Isn't that a fair statement?
That's absolutely true. And for those who didn't get good formation, go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and read the section on marriage.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is phenomenal. Get Three to Get Married by Bishop Sheen. Get Pope John Paul II's letter to the families. Find out what it means to be a Christian family, what it is that you're supposed to be. How can you be what you're supposed to be if you don't know what it is?
Right.
So I would think that, you know, this would help to read these things and study them to get them as a couple.
And when St. Pope John Paul II wrote that letter to the families in 94, he said the way the family goes is the way the culture goes.
Yes.
So tying it back into the crisis in the church, don't we have a crisis in the family?
We do. We absolutely do. And it's not just, you know, the church is being attacked. The family's being attacked. And the Anglicans caved on the contraceptive issue back in 1930.
Yep.
And the interesting thing about that is by the 1940s and 50s, a lot of Catholic women were already using contraceptives in
what?
Their marriage. Yes. My mother was persecuted because she accepted
big
her
family,
children
yeah.
willingly and lovingly. I had an aunt who was unable to have a big family who received kind of a reverse persecution. She wanted a large family, and everybody said to her, oh, weren't you the smart one? You only had one child. And that was like a knife in her heart. She wasn't able to have more than one child. And so it's not about the size. It's about your openness to life.
Exactly.
And that's what God is asking, is that openness to receive. And to do his will. Are we willing to do his will, or are we going to insist, like Adam and Eve in the garden, no, Lord, I'm going to do it my way?
And, you know, I want to ask you this. I noticed after 1968, those bishops that dissented, that would not buy into Pope Paul VI's teachings, that, for example, the Dutch bishops here in this article, they said, no way, we're not going to do that, and it wasn't passed on. And the Dutch church has been devastated. There's very few vocations, very few people, like 6% of the people are even going to church on Sunday. Do you think there's a connection, and this is my question, that when you deviate from the moral teachings of the church, that that will affect liturgy, practice, and it will actually undermine the faith?
I think it does. And Bishop Sheen used to say, you know, if you run into a Catholic who's left the church, if you push them to the wall, you're going to find out they have a moral difference with the church. If you run into someone who's studying the church and believes the Catholic Church is the true church but won't enter, you're going to push them to the wall, you'll find out they have a moral difference with the church. And this is what happens when we are not generous with God, when we decide that there's some moral issue, some commandment of God that we're not going to follow because it's just too hard. We become selfish and self-centered. And what do we pass on to our children? Our attitudes, our dispositions, the way we live. And so if we're living a selfish, self-centered life, and we may not think we are, we may think we're really generous, but let's really be honest with ourselves about how generous we're being.
Great question. My point now is that now that you have children, and many of our listeners have adult children, they have young children, and forming them in a secular, humanistic society is very challenging. We all know that.
Yes, yes.
God blessed us with 6 children, 4 that lived, and they're all 21 or older now.
Yes.
And they went by fast.
Yes, it did.
But I want to talk when we come back about how important the prayer, rosary, yes. examination yes. of conscience for a young family, because we have many young families listening, and I want to share what worked for us now that we're old folks in our 60s. You're listening to Happy Hour. Matt Arnold is not here. It's Terry and Mary Barber. We're filling in today and tomorrow. Matt will be back on Friday. And we're talking about the family and marriage and how to raise kids. And hey, you know what? After 30 years, I guess we can look back and say, let's share that with you. We'll be back with more on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I want to just share a little.
Matthew Arnold here, host of Happy Hour on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Part of our daily schedule of live 100% Catholic programs, along with the Terry and Jesse Show and the Bar of History with Dr. Ed Mazza. It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. This fall, Virgin Most Powerful Radio will be rolling out another original live program, Jesus 911 with Jesse Romero, Eddie Chavez, and Ruben Nava. 3 ex-cops sharing true stories of evangelization and spiritual warfare on the streets of Los Angeles. We're also remodeling our studio and preparing to launch our new website and smartphone app. We desperately need to fix the bugs so you can listen live on our app or YouTube without any glitches. Plus, meet traditional broadcast standards in order to provide our exclusive programming to Catholic radio stations around the country and around the world, absolutely free of charge. As usual, we're doing it all on a shoestring budget. But we cannot do it without you. If you like what you hear on Virgin Most Powerful, I ask you to please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Happy Hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Matthew.
Welcome back to the Happy Hour. I'm not Matt Arnold. I'm just his good friend, Terry Barber, and my wife, Mary Danielle. Matt asked, hey, Terry, can you fill in for me? I've got some speaking engagements to do today and tomorrow. I said, absolutely, we'd be honored. So that's what we're doing. And if you want me to come to your parish or my wife to come to your parish and speak on the Catholic faith, you can call us at 877-526-2151. I'd be honored to do that. I want to just talk about children, but before I do that, this past weekend I was in Hayes, Kansas, and it's only 3,000 people who live in Hayes. I wish my wife was with me because I gave like five or six talks at some of the schools. I went to did some talks with Divine Mercy Radio. And what blew me away, Mary, and our listeners, was that when I talked to the little kids about the rosary or about the Eucharist, they understood what mortal and venial sin was. I said, guys, how many of you kids know how to pray the rosary? Everybody raised their hand. I said, wow, I don't get that normally. Yeah. How many of you pray the rosary with your family every night? 80% of the kids, and that was hundreds of kids. So that impressed me. So they're doing something right in Hayes, Kansas, that maybe the East Coast and West Coast can pick up on.
Amen.
Yeah. So if you have a question or comment, don't hesitate to call us at 888-526-2151. But Mary Danielle, when we raised our kids, we've been praying the rosary every day together since we met, okay? And when we got married, we prayed our rosary. And can you share with our listeners, because I know there's a lot of moms out there listening, how in the world did you get these young children, to pray the rosary with you and then do an examination of conscience? And how did that all work?
Well, you as the father of the family took the lead.
You got it.
And you were the one, you know, we're going to pray the rosary now and let's make an examination of conscience. And before we started the rosary, and then you would ask the children, what are you grateful for today? And it was fun. It was beautiful because it's like, what is one thing you're grateful for today? And it's a good thing
attitude
to do.
Attitude of gratitude.
Have that attitude. Of, you know, there's lots that God has blessed us with. We can be grateful for it every day. So we did that. And another thing I like with children, oftentimes if you read some of the scripture, you know, praying the Hail Marys over and over again, they're beautiful. And you can meditate just on the Hail Mary. But when we pray the rosary, we should be thinking about the mysteries. So you can have little picture books where they can be looking at pictures that of the mysteries of the rosary, or let them maybe as an art project if you're homeschooling, draw some pictures that they can of the mysteries and what they mean. And then again with the examination of conscience, and then following up on the examination of conscience, take your children to confession on a regular basis. Mm. You know, once a month would be very good, and that's something the church encourages. So you make the daily examination of conscience to be aware of the fact that every day we need to repent of sins. And if we do this, we're going to find that it's easier to keep in touch with our Lord and grow in the faith. So,
and one more thing that we tried to do with our kids, we asked them also to ask Jesus Christ for more faith.
Yeah.
So important. And that's not just for the kids. That's me. That's my wife.
Everybody.
We do that
every day,
single day, so that we can fight the good fight. Because mom, dad out there right now, mom and dad, it ain't easy, is it?
Mm-mm.
No. You got financial constraints. You've got more morality coming into your home that's immoral. How do we stop all that? I'm also going to encourage people to have holy water. Mom, Mary Danielle, you always had holy water when I first met you. A fun story I'll tell you, folks. Are you ready for this one? Before I married her, listen to this, you'll laugh. I met her 10 years after I met her, but then she came out of the convent, as I said earlier in the show. She was living in West Covina, and I was going to an abortion clinic to pray the rosary to give women alternatives to abortion. There were three other women living in this little apartment that were serving the Knights of the Immaculata and the church. So I said, hey, if you girls would like to come to the clinic to pray, we need more people praying. Would you come? They said, oh, yeah. Well, the only one that came was Mary Danielle. So I went there, brought her to the clinic, and by golly, what happens? They thought it was an operation rescue. The pro-aborts were there. Over 100 people said, when we got out of the car with my big crucifix, like the one I'm having here in my studio, they said, there they are. And I'm like, and she says to me, what are they talking about? I said, listen, Mary, don't worry about that. We're just here to pray the rosary. So I get there to pray the rosary with her. And by golly, these people are surrounding us. And I'm used to people making derogatory attacks on my faith when I'm praying the rosary. So it's just the two of us at the beginning. And we're surrounded by these people. And a guy puts a cigarette butt lit in my ear. And I was not a happy camper. My lower nature kicked in. Well, I went after the guy, but there were so many people. Who did it? I don't know. So I noticed I'm praying there, and my wife is praying her rosary. And all of a sudden, the networks come, Channel 2, 4, 7, ABC, NBC. And they're interviewing the pro-aborts saying that we're terrorists. These people that are praying the rosary, and they're evil. And I'm like, really? So what did I say? I said, excuse me to the TV people. I said, are you just going to put one side of the story? Or are you going to be objective and have the other side? And she says, well, who are you with? And I said, I happen to be the president of Concerned Roman Catholics of America. I just thought of the name. So they said, well, put you on the air. So I got, and they had my name and my title. And I said, look, we're praying here every Saturday for the unborn. We're giving women alternatives to abortion, and we're here to help women. And so that's what we do. So they put me on television, and now I go back to my future wife, not knowing that she's going to be my future wife, but I see her closing her eyes, praying the rosary, and man, I've got my eyes open like the next guy that comes to me, I'm going to beat him over the head with this crucifix. That's what I was thinking. My lower nature, remember? And so finally, I take her back to the car, and I say, excuse me, Mary, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? I noticed you had your eyes closed when you were praying the rosary for that hour and a half that we were there. How did you do that? Were you really praying? She says, well, I asked my guardian angel to take care of me, and then I could pray. And I said, you got to be kidding me, girl. If I poke you, will you bleed? And of course, I said, let's go out for a bite to eat. And of course, I took her out my first date, and I ended up marrying her and having six children. That's how we met, at really. And here's the point. When you're in a battle, I know my police friends, Jesse, all my guys here, they know if they go into a battle with their partners, there's a bonding that goes on. Am I right? Yes, of course. Yes. And so we were bonded through trying to protect unborn babies 30-some years ago. And God blessed us with our family. And I encourage our listeners to get involved with the pro-life activities, because you can meet your wife there too. I say that. I tell people that all the time. Mary Danielle, we're going to come back tomorrow and fill in for Matthew, and we're going to be talking about some interesting things, like every 500 years the church faces a crisis. Bishop Sheen taught us that before we were married in the 1970s. And Bishop Sheen said this in the early 70s, that when we were seeing the corruption inside the church, he was speaking, and everybody was saying, Bishop Sheen, you're an extremist. Yeah, yeah. priest victims say to the church, he talked about the walking away from the cross of Christ.
Yes.
And that we want a Jesus of a resurrection, but we don't want to go through Good Friday.
Right, right.
It appears to me that that's also tied in to a crisis right now, that we forgot about Christ and Him crucified. Can you share a little bit on that thought?
Yes, and I think that's true. We want a comfortable life. We want to live an easy life. It's one of the difficulties with having all of the worldly things that we have.
Sure.
We think that we're just, it's like Burger King, have it your way, or McDonald's, you deserve a break today. And those may be great advertising slogans, but you know what? Those are devastating for the spiritual life, because we're called to follow Christ and to follow him crucified.
Amen.
And that was St. Paul learned the lesson. He was up in Athens and he tried to convert the Athenians with all his worldly wisdom and all these erudite speeches. Yeah. And they didn't listen to him. He just only got a few converts. So he went down to Corinth and he said, I have resolved that I am with you, that I will speak of nothing but Christ and of him crucified. And this is the lesson we need to learn. We're here to follow Christ. And it's not like Jesus did all the suffering, I don't have to. Our life is full of suffering. Whether we follow God or not, we're going to have suffering in our life. The question is, do we want to make that suffering fruitful? Do we want that suffering to bear fruit for eternal life, to become a beautiful jewel in the crown of our Lord? And so we follow Christ crucified. We have to walk up Calvary with Christ. We have to die to ourselves in order that he can live in us.
Amen.
And then we will experience the resurrection and joy. And the saints have taught us this, and they know joy, joy in the midst of suffering. Christ knew joy in the midst of suffering. That doesn't mean he was smiling on the cross.
Amen.
Okay? If you're suffering, you're suffering.
Right. Mary Danielle, I'm getting text after text because I give my cell number out, as you know, 661-972-7872. And one of the people who must have just come on the air says, Terry, is that woman with you on your right now your wife?
Yes. Yes.
Almost 30 years. And I will say this, the woman who answers lots of questions on Virgin Most Powerful Radio is my wife. And she sits there every night. If you have a question on the faith, she's got a master's degree in biblical studies. She studied the Bible in the original languages from John Paul II, the great university. I've read her papers and I love it. We're so blessed now that our kids are all grown up. In the evening, this is what we do. What we just did today for you on the radio, on our porch, this is what we talk about, how our Catholic faith is so important to us. And we want to pass that on to you.
Amen.
Because we know life is short and eternity is forever.
Amen.
And what Mary said about the bringing forth a new life of a new soul, yeah. You know, Cardinal Mendzenti wrote on Mother's Day a beautiful poem saying that, you know, a mother's role is the most important thing in the world.
Right.
And it was because of the soul that is generated through bringing forth new life.
Yeah,
Mary Danielle, we're going to come back tomorrow, same time, to fill in for a happy hour with Matt Arnold. I am so blessed. Now, remember, sweetie, we're going to have a nice salad after this.
Yes.
And you, our listeners, we're going to come back tomorrow and hopefully share some more insights on our happiness is really rooted in Christ, because without Christ, we have nothing.
Yeah.
And the world right now is in chaos because Jesus Christ is not Lord in this world right now.
Amen.
Who's influencing who? The
Amen.
World or the church?
Amen.
We want to turn that around. Mary Danielle, tell us again about your Bible studies that you're doing here.
On Tuesday nights, beginning September 18th at 7 p.m. to 9, and then again on Thursday afternoon, beginning September the 20th, at 1 p.m. to 3 in the chapel, at Sacred Heart Chapel. On Center Street in Covina. And we'll be working through the books of the Bible, New Testament, but also doing a little biblical, what we call hermeneutics. How does the church teach us to read and interpret the Bible? What is the mind of the church in that regard? So we'll do a little of that, little background, just so that we understand where can we get the information? Where can I go to find the information to know how it is the church wants us to read the scriptures?
Well said. We always say with Jesse and Terry, we say, what state should you be living in? The state of grace. I love ending it that way. What state shouldn't you be living in?
The state of mortal sin.
Thank you, Mary Danielle. You must listen to the Terry and Jesse show. Hey, we had fun with you. We look forward tomorrow to having it with you again, another hour with the happy hour, filling in for Matthew Arnold. He'll be back on Friday. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
Prayer is a conversation, and a conversation goes two ways. We speak and we listen. But how do we listen to God? Do we look for signs? I just saw a leaf blow across the street. Am I supposed to leaf my boyfriend? I guess God can use signs, but for the most part, he speaks more simply than that, through Scripture. Every day, before anything else gets into your head, I want you to start by opening the Gospel According to iPhone. It's all right there. Just Google Gospel from Daily Mass. It's really short. Read it. Ask God what He's saying to you through His Word, and then talk to Him from your heart. Make that a daily habit, because if it's not, it'll never happen. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not a monk. I can't pray every morning. Look, I know you're not. That's why I'm only asking you for something that takes about 2 minutes. And if you do that every day, I promise you, it will change your life. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.